Hello, this is Pastor Corey Ehrman. You're listening to my podcast. I hope it blesses, encourages, and inspires you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch you through this teaching. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless. I'm going to talk about the ethics of money. Yeah, it's a very exciting subject, I know. I know. Very exciting. It's the one everybody's going to jump up and down about, run around the house. You'd be surprised what comes out of this, but... Well, the word ethics, it comes from ethos, which means morality or a code of attitude and conduct. So money is one of the biggest areas where people get tripped up. Well, actually, I think it is the biggest area where people get tripped up. If it wasn't, Jesus would not have said, you can only serve one of two masters. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve money or mammon, which is the spirit of the world, which is the kingdom of man, which is the way that the world operates, the system of the world operates around money. But the kingdom of God operates around another dimension. It operates by faith. Amen. So the currency of the kingdom is faith. Say this after me. The currency of the kingdom is faith. However, you realize that you can't go pay your rent with faith. You can't fill your gas tank with faith. You can't go pay your taxes with faith. You can't go purchase a house by faith. But faith will bring you the money that you need. But you have to approach money in the right way. And so ethics is about the code of attitude and conduct. When you have the right attitude, the right code of conduct concerning money, then God can bless you because he's in the business of blessing you. Amen. It's the blessing of the Lord that makes one rich. Amen. So if God wants to bless you and give you an abundance for every good work, then he's not against you having money, but he wants you to have the right code of conduct, the right attitude towards money. That's why the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. So that means you have to have a cheerful attitude. You have to be a joyous giver, prompt to do a giver, whose heart is in his giving, seeking to be a blessing, because God's going to bless you to be a blessing. So the motive of the heart has to be around blessing. Amen. And what you need to also understand is grace does not mean that we have no moral standards and principles. That's kind of what it's become now with the modern day hyper grace message, you know, the greasy grace message. People just believe that, you know, they can do whatever they want and there's grace to cover it up. But there is no grace to cover up disobedience. There is no grace to cover up what is against God's word and God's will. So we've got to do things according to the word of God. Amen. When you handle money according to God's word, amen, then God will bless you and money will become the tool in your hand for you to accomplish what God's called you to do. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Another thing is, people use grace as a way to get out of responsibility now. That's kind of the generation, unfortunately, we're living in. People hide behind grace as a way of getting out of responsibility. Grace doesn't mean we are irresponsible people, that we're not responsible. Actually, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is expected. And if we have received the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, according to Romans 5:17, by which we rule and reign and have dominion in this life, that means we need to understand the power of grace. Grace is not the big cover-up. Grace is the big empowerment for you to rise up and to be all that God's called you to be and to do all that God's called you to do. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So grace is actually a supernatural empowerment. Say this after me. God's grace is supernatural empowerment. Hallelujah. I like what the Apostle Paul said. You know, he said that he was an apostle born out of due time. He actually called himself to be the least of the apostles. But he also said that he wanted to make sure that God's grace in him was not in vain. And he worked harder and ran harder than all the other apostles. So by God's grace, he was able to outwork everybody. Amen. And outproduce everybody. And I'm expecting. And that's one of the things that we actually... Pastor Randy was talking about in Kingdom Business Fellowship last night, because of the grace of God on your life, you're going to be able to outdo everybody. You're going to be able to outwork everybody. You're going to be able to outperform everybody. And you'll actually accomplish, you'll do more with less because of the grace of God on your life. But the way you handle money, the way you look at money, everything has to be right. You have to understand the basic ethics of money. That means, first and foremost, according to the word of God, you don't love money, you don't worship money. You don't serve money. Money serves you. Money serves a purpose. We are not here to serve money. Money is a means to an end. It's not the end. Amen. End all be all. Money is just a tool. Just like this phone is a tool. Just like a screwdriver is a tool. Just like a bulldozer is a tool. Just like a chainsaw is a tool. Money is a tool to accomplish what God's called you to do. And so you've got to be about your Father's business. That's what Jesus said. I am about my Father's business. And he said, occupy, which means conduct business till I come. So whatever business God has assigned to you, whatever God has placed in your hands, you got to handle things the right way. And you got to make it about the kingdom. Seeking you first the kingdom and his righteousness. Hallelujah. And Pastor Randy talked about it last night. He said, a lot of people out there seeking money. But when you seek the kingdom, money will seek you. Hallelujah. Second thing you need to understand about ethics of money is money is simply a tool or a resource to accomplish something else. It's something in between. It's a medium of exchange. It's a store of value. Amen. But what is the value? I mean, you know, I look at a painting and I'll think like, that's probably not even worth 10 bucks to me, but somebody's willing to weigh $10 million for it in an auction. To me, it looks like the ugliest thing ever. But it's just, you know, because it has value to somebody, it doesn't have any value to me. Amen. Now, a Benelli shotgun, shakra masandala. I mean, I feel the Holy Ghost on that one. And somebody else looks at it and they go, what the heck is that? I don't really care for that. I wouldn't even give $5 for it. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get me an M4 and I'll go after Goliath. All right. Anyways, but again, it's just a store of value. It's a medium of exchange. So it is a tool in our hands. It's a resource, just like everything else is a resource. Amen. Hallelujah. And it helps us to build the kingdom. Hallelujah. And then the third thing you need to understand about money is stewardship. God wants you to understand stewardship. We're not owners, we're stewards. Instead of having an ownership mentality, we must have a stewardship mentality. When you are a good steward of the money and the resources and the opportunities God places in your hands, and he'll start you out with little, but when you're faithful with little, he'll give you more. Hallelujah. He'll make you ruler over much. See, ruler, you're gonna rule money. Money's not gonna rule you. You are gonna rule money. Come on, somebody, say it. Say this after me. Money's not going to rule me. I'm going to rule money. Hallelujah. So stewardship. When you're faithful with little, God will make you ruler over much. And another thing we need to understand, the fourth thing about the ethics of money, is we have a moral responsibility to support the work of God and give into the kingdom. We have a moral responsibility to support the work of God as Christians. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we never received a check from Pfizer saying you're having healings and miracles in the church and we'd like to get behind it. Here's a check for $10 million. We never got a check from Bud Light saying you're getting people drunk in the Holy Ghost in your church. We like people getting drunk. We'd like to send you a check for $25 million. We never got a check from the Florida lottery because we're preaching on prosperity. Amen. It's God's people's responsibility. It's our moral responsibility to support the gospel, support our local church, support traveling ministries. Like Pastor Randy's a traveling minister. He's an itinerant minister. He ministers in churches. He teaches God's people and he motivates and he teaches on leadership, structure, business, many other things that he's helping churches. So he's an itinerant minister. So we also have a responsibility to support traveling ministers. Amen. Amen. And then another thing you need to understand, according to Titus chapter 2, verse 10, the fifth thing you need to know about ethics of money is do not take things of small value. Bible tells us, because there's a lot of little things, nobody will miss this. I'll just take it. Who will miss that? You know, it's just somebody's Bible. It's just a water bottle. It's a pen. It's a cable. It's a this. It's a that. But the Bible tells you not to take things of small value because it reflects the heart attitude. Because I can tell you, the guys that steal the millions, they didn't start stealing millions. They started stealing 10, 20, 100 bucks. And then it became a million. It became even now a billion. You know, another billion. I don't know, $75 billion package for wars now. You know, so you can understand what's going on. So the three biggest moral issues associated with money is number one, stealing. Okay, but then you got to understand, if you're not a tither, the Bible says you're actually robbing God. So as a Christian, as a believer, you have a moral responsibility to be a tither to your local church and then to support ministries, to support not only your church, traveling ministries, missions, and so forth. Amen. Because I will obviously, what is stealing? Taking what is not yours. So we don't take from God because the tithe is the Lord's portion. It's holy to the Lord, right? It belongs to the Lord. It's not even ours. The third thing about money is cheating, which is misleading and misrepresenting. And that's the, again, these are the moral dilemmas we're dealing in the world system. We get upset about what's going on in the world, right? We get upset about what's going on in government. We get upset about this, we get upset about that. Well, that's the world system. That's the spirit of mammon. But we cannot allow the spirit of mammon to come into church. We don't operate according to the world's way. We operate under a different economy. We operate under heaven's economy. And heaven's economy is based on faith and based on principles and handling these things according to the word of God. Amen. So we operate in heaven's economy, not mammon's economy. But unfortunately, also some Christians have a hybrid economy. You know, they operate a little bit in heaven's economy, a little bit in the world's economy. They got one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom. You can't do it. There is no hybrid economy. You cannot mix the two. Jesus said it's either one or the other. There's no in between. So you got to make up your mind how you're going to handle things. And if you haven't been taught, which most of us haven't been taught, you know, then now it's time to be taught. We got to be teachable. I don't care how old we are. We have to be teachable and allow the word of God to renew our minds, right? So that we have the right code of attitude and conduct towards money, which is really the most destructive thing on the planet when handled incorrectly. Amen. So God wants to bless you. So he wants to be able to trust you. Right? Who shall ascend to his holy hill? We're talking about, man, I want to go to the next level. Well, he who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart. Hallelujah. And you know, you have to understand, money is not evil. Money is not dirty. It's the love of money that's evil. Right? Money, you know, $1 million in the hands of a righteous man will build a kingdom. $1 million in the hands of an unrighteous man will kill millions. So either millions are coming into the kingdom, life is being released, or death is being released. So it's all about who touches it, because money takes on the character of the person handling it. It has no character of its own. It's neutral. Amen. But it takes on the character of the person handling it. So when your heart's right, your hands are pure, then God can release more through your life. Just like more anointing can flow through you, more money can flow through you. Come on. How many of you are ready for a greater flow of money? And the third biggest moral issue concerning money is lying. So we said stealing, cheating, and then lying, which is twisting the truth or falsehood. That's basically why Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead in church, right? Bible tells us not to have unjust scales, not to be speak falsehood. So how do we counteract that as a believer? Instead of stealing, we have generous giving. Amen. Instead of cheating, we handle justly. Our money, we handle it justly. And third, instead of lying, we're honest. We're honest about things. You know, when you make a promise, you fulfill it. I mean, I heard some years ago, you know, of course, being in the mission field for many, many, many years, doing missions work, we still do missions work. I've had a lot of pledges. If all those pledges had come in by now, oh Lord, I probably have a jet and several buildings, you know. And I remember the first time I went to Finland, this was 2000, I believe it was 2003, preached in Finland in a city called Tampere. It was February, it was frozen. Woke up in the morning, it was minus 30 Celsius. And there was a big temperature gauge on my double-double paned window, because you have to, it's minus 30 Celsius up there. I'm looking at this temperature gauge, minus 30, oh, that's nice. And then we're having breakfast at the place I'm staying. And then the guy I'm staying with, he goes, oh, it's warming up. I thought, oh, hopefully it's like 10 degrees. 20. And it was minus 18. I couldn't tell the difference between minus 30 and minus 18, to be honest with you. You know, I took the thickest clothes I had and I was shivering the whole week. Anyways, and then we're driving. He goes, do you want to take the short way or the long way? I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, the short way is over the lake that's frozen. We can get there in 5 minutes, or the long way is driving around the lake. We can get there in, like, you know, 25 minutes. And then he goes, oh, by the way, a car fell in the lake last week. I'm like, oh, that's wonderful. Just drive around it, please. Anyway, so I'm in Tampa, right? And then, you know, I preached the whole week. And then there was a River Church back then in Tampa. It eventually closed down, but now there's a new River Church. So anyways, that's another story. But I preached the whole week, and then I'm leaving. You know, I'm believing God for some things. I'm going to go back to Istanbul, you know, believing God for some things. And then the pastor comes to me and he says to me, he goes, oh, you got €7,500 in the offering. I'm like, oh, wow, that's great. And then he hands me an envelope. He goes, this is the cash. And it was like €500. I was like, oh, okay. And he said, the rest are in pledges. And my heart sank. Oh, because I know what that means. I said, oh, no, please. Like, literally, it cost me more to fly here, you know? He goes, Brother Corey. be at peace. The Finns are very good. It will all come in. Within 30 days, we'll have it all wired to you. I said, yeah, sure. He goes, no, they're good. It'll all come in. I said, that's wonderful. I hope they're not, you know, Americans. The Finns, I just want to take your word for it. And sure enough, all of it came in. But then I remembered looking back, one of the times I was with him, you know, after lunch, we drove into this business and he was picking up some things he had printed for the church, like flyers he had printed for the church. So he picked up the flyers, whole, you know, batch of paper and stuff that was printed. And the guy handed him a slip, like a sheet of paper, like a little slip, the paper. And then we walked out. I said, what was that? He goes, well, that's just a bank account. What do you mean? He goes, well, I took it and I'll pay it through the bank account. Oh, so he actually gave it to you before you paid? He goes, yeah. That's how Finland is. But it's changing now because a lot of different cultures are coming in, you know, so they don't really do that anymore. They want you to prepay now. You know, you're not walking out the shop without paying, but it was like that. That's 2003, that's 20, you know, 1 year ago now. They don't do that so much anymore, right? You kind of know what I'm talking about in Scandinavia, but, you know, I mean, that's how they grew up. Like, if you gave your word, they knew it was you were good for it. Oh, you'll pay later, no problem. It's not even a thought. Yeah, you'll pay. Here's the product we printed for you. You'll pay, no problem. It'll come in. And sure enough, it came in. I was impressed. You know, so we need to understand that. And the Bible says if you pledge something, you have to be good for it. So we have to handle things rightly. Amen. So say this after me. Generosity, justice, and honesty. That's what God wants us to do when we concerning how to handle money. And then you can be the steward that God can trust, and you can be the person that God can use in a supernatural way, because I'm telling you, there's going to be supernatural finances released for the end time, for the church. We call it the end time wealth transfer. The wealth of the wicked is going to come into the hands of the righteous, but the righteous have to have the right code of conduct and attitude towards handling money. We've got to handle it righteously so that God can bless us abundantly. Amen. Thank you for tuning into my podcast. I hope that you have been blessed. I would like for you to consider two things. Number one, subscribe to our show to receive notifications of our new podcasts. Number two, support our ministry of reaching the nations with revival by clicking on the link in the description or visiting our website, riverwpb.com. Thank you for tuning in. Look forward to you joining our next podcast. God bless you.